Welcome to the Kryptonaut Podcast. I am Mark Storrs, and I'm hanging out with my good buddy here, Mr. Robert Thomas Morphy II.
What a pleasure, as always, as usual, period, the end.
Exactly. Thank you all so very much for tuning in the Kryptonaut Podcast. We are here. We are doing it. Rob, we have a little impromptu thing happening this Friday.
Oh, I'm super excited about this.
This is super dope. This actually is going to be on the Discord, which is available at patreon.com/KryptonautPodcast. The $1 or $5 will get you access to the Discord. And I'm trying to pull this up on my phone for some reason. I can't. There it is. This Friday, February 17th, 8:30 p.m., Beers with the Boys. This is like a community event that we do over there. You can grab a beverage of your choice and get ready for Beers with the Boys. Join Mark and Rob on Friday, February 17th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or as I call it, New York time, in General Voice for an informal and interactive discussion of some grab bag stories from across the web.
Oh, hot damn.
We're not sure what we're going to do.
No, that the grab bag says it all.
Exactly. We're just going to jump on there. We're going to chat up a little bit. We're kind of like doing a beta run to see how kind of these things happen, you know, with Discord, just kind of get people interacting and talking. So again, that is going to be this Friday, 8:30 p.m. on the Discord. So be sure to check that out there. And you know what? Chris is doing good. Just to kind of put it out there, Chris is doing good. He's feeling better. He will be back at some point. But we've gotten some messages and some comments from folks. And
yeah, it's got to be really enigmatic for them.
I know. Well, you know, what's funny is I saw someone that looked like Chris in Walmart with my wife. Her and I were walking, and I saw someone like, oh, my God, is that Chris?
Is that a Chris in the Wild sighting?
What's Chris doing? And then I ran up to him, and we talked, and
Did you get a blurry photo?
I showed him my tooth trick where I can take my tooth out, and he was sort of horrified for a second.
Yeah, that's Chris.
He goes at this. He goes, are you supposed to do that?
Yeah, just don't tell me you have dead people in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, I told him all about that. He was fucking completely freaked out.
Of course, yes.
So there is all that. This week, Robert, oh, this looks kind of fun. We had a little discussion about the title, and I think this is the title that we're going to go with, sir. This is Sinister Skeletons.
Hell yeah.
There's one thing I love. It's the sinister and the skeletons.
Yes.
Together.
Totally. This it wouldn't be like, the same.
No, I mean, you don't want happy skeletons. That sucks.
No, that's some silly symphony bullshit. Yeah, that's old-time 1929 Disney cartoons. No,
nobody wants.
And actually, they were pretty fucking sinister, too, really.
I mean, I don't really know if there's such thing as like a happy-go-lucky skeleton.
I'm sure there are somewhere.
I don't know, man.
Some bubbly-ass Casper bullshit somewhere.
I don't want that. That's just gets going.
No, that's not what we're into.
No.
That's certainly not what we're going to be discussing today.
No, not at all. So let's get started with a staple of Halloween dioramas, biology classrooms, and fright flicks. The human skeleton has been, since a time immemorial, a source of both fascination and fear. But as haunting as images on the silver screen or etchings in old books may be, they pale before the real-life encounters that many have reported with allegedly undead skeletal remains.
We're getting Harryhausen in this motherfucker.
This is a phenomenon that I have not really heard too much about.
You know, you would be surprised how often it shows up. Like, even as a kid, I always thought, oh, okay, when you don't have, like, I wouldn't say just the cojones, but like you're trying to make a film that's accessible to children and you don't want to show the desiccated flesh.
Right.
The weak zombie is the fully skeletal zombie. And again, I'm not throwing Jason and the Argonauts or, you know, Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, like classic Harryhausen, which I love, or other things under the bus. They just did what they had to do at the time.
Right.
But I never really liked the fully skeletal version of the undead. And I always thought, okay, this is just a trope. It's an easy little Halloween trope. It's no big deal. But then I started reading into it and listening to a few different podcasts and things. And I'm like, holy shit, this is a fucking phenomenon.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, man. Well, let's get started. I'm stoked to see where this goes.
Yes, no doubt. In advance, though, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Black of the Beyond Creepy YouTube channel, who we've given a shout out to before. Excellent resource for really weird shit. The Real Life Ghost Stories podcast. The always invaluable Albert Rosales. The late great paranormal investigator and author Hans Holzer. Yeah, Mr. Holzer,
yeah,
Herr Holzer. And the endlessly fascinating True Supernatural Stories collection at the site yourghoststories.com. So without further ado, a miracle of bioengineering. The skeleton is a rigid framework of collagen and calcium phosphate that keeps us and most other vertebrates, except for you fucking sharks, I'm looking at you, from being immobile, sloppy, Cronenberg-esque bags of organs and tissue that would almost immediately asphyxiate under our own weight. But as one of the last components of the human body to decompose, the skeleton also stands as a perpetual reminder of our own fleeting mortality. One could write volumes on the origins of our mixed bag of emotions regarding the marrow-filled fundament inside each of us, but I think our time here would be better spent exploring another idea. A seemingly ludicrous notion that nonetheless bears weight due to the sheer volume of eyewitnesses. What we'll be discussing today are those who claim to have encountered the eerily ambulatory apparitions known simply as walking skeletons, as well as other more gravity-defiant members of their insidious ilk.
They're not only walking, they're like hovering, flying. Yeah,
they're walking and floating, basically. Oh, cool. All right. It's two. We're not going to see a swimming. Oh, one's driving, I think.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, cool. All right.
So, yes. Yeah, but we're not going to like see any other forms of motion. Like, there's not going to be one on a Segway. Yeah,
I actually thought about that. I'm like, do they got like those hover fucking boards? Like, dude, do they got Heelys? You know, those cool shoes with wheels.
Oh, I remember them
back?
Well. Yeah. Like, they were a danger to all middle school kids some 15 years ago or whatever. Just tooling around. It's like, you're going to fucking die. Yep.
Yeah, there you go, man. Fucking Heely your way into hell.
Oh, my God. Wow, that would be fucking great advertising campaign. We are going to begin with a brief report that stands as a curious, though not particularly frightening, encounter. According to Hans Holzer, sometime in the early 1950s, a young recruit stationed at what was then Camp Cook in Santa Barbara County, California, now known as the Vandenberg Space Force Base, recently the Air Force Base, now Vandenberg Space Force. Oh, I didn't know that until
part
I researched
Space Force?
Okay. I guess so. I guess they needed a base somewhere.
Yeah.
So anyway, this unnamed soldier, had a run-in with a bizarre being while on his way back to the barracks with a group of buddies with whom he had gone to the movies. Whether or not they saw a horror film wasn't reported, but the thing that this unnamed soldier spied on his way home was something straight out of a nightmare. According to his report, he spied what appeared to be a human skeleton walking ahead of his group some 200 feet ahead of them. So... I used that word twice, and that's something I'm okay with.
Ahead?
I don't like doing that, but I did it.
It's okay.
Right, so I have to live with that shame now.
Maybe if you were not uneducated,
oh,
Robert.
Oh, wow, that's yeah, hurtful. Maybe if I watched a documentary
about being educated.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe if you left.
Maybe Ken Burns will direct one just
maybe
for me.
If you left your email and...
Yeah, not bitter at all.
sometimes you just gotta like you see something.
We've
like,
been challenged with our pronunciation.
Sometimes you have to just laugh.
Documentary.
You just have to laugh.
I stand by.
Okay, my uneducated friend, let's continue our journey.
Let's keep walking down this path together.
I wasn't gonna bring it up.
Oh, I'll do it. There's an L there. Not gonna ignore it.
All right, walk into my heart, buddy.
Okay, so that aside, 200 feet ahead, skeleton walking.
Nice.
More curious than afraid, the recruit began sprinting toward the oddly ambulating entity, but he found that no matter how fast he went, he couldn't catch up. Interestingly, none of the other soldiers at the scene, whether out of embarrassment or sincere ignorance, claimed to have seen the potentially sinister specter. While the eyewitness's concise account of the sighting was hardly harrowing, this would prove to be the exception and not the rule, as most people would be severely traumatized by their encounters with these creatures.
He got off lucky.
Saw a guy in the distance. He doesn't have any skin or tendons or whatnot. He's like, dude, can't catch up to dude. His buddies are like, I didn't see dude. Whatever happened to that recruit, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's a head case. Maybe he can just see special magical invisible people, mostly invisible people.
Maybe it was like the whole like doctor, was it like Dr. Manhattan? Remember when he was like going through different
rebuilding
phases?
Himself, yeah. Piece by piece.
Just
like
walking around
his father,
a
the watchmaker.
Yeah. Okay. All right, man. Could there be. It is. All
right. Moving on. April 15th, 2009. On that date, I'm saying it backwards, a Canadian user named Mirichan posted a haunting encounter from her youth on yourghoststories.com, aforementioned. According to Miri, she was only 3 or 4 years old, the first time she ever laid eyes on a ghost, and was therefore unable to remember much of the ordeal, which she insists was not a dream. And I know that's going to be a little bit difficult.
Okay.
We're going to be dealing with a lot of very young eyewitnesses, and it's very easy to, like, a lot of these are going to take place in bedrooms. You're going to be like, oh, they're half asleep, there's something going on, and maybe that's true. But as we know, at a very young age, I had a personal sighting that I still insist was beyond fucking the pale of just some bad dream of a skeletal apparition in
the
closet.
I was going to say it was skeletal, too.
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
so I definitely feel an affinity for this. It's something I can't prove actually happened. And for those that don't know, just briefly, and most of you probably should, but it was an old metal closet, like from floor to ceiling, practically just short of the ceiling, that opened up side to side and just had like a bar at the top and hanging clothes and some folded shit and maybe toys at the bottom. And it opened up on its own, and it was directly across from the side of my bed. So I was laying on my side, and it opened up, and in it I saw a clear blue sky. I swear I could feel the breeze. And then I saw an old, I assume World War II, like fighter plane screeching down. But then instead of it just going by the opening as if it was like a Narnia-esque opening into the skies above, like, say, the Pacific Theater or whatever, it started traveling with the plane like a camera. And I saw this fucking skeleton dressed in like bomber gear, you know, the puffy brown jacket, the weird goggles up, the flappy helmet. Maybe it's World War I, World War II. I'm not sure.
Was it like an animation?
No, here's the problem. Because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, dude, heavy metal, that great sequence in heavy metal where the World War II skeletal zombies came out and fucked people up. That would be valid, except that when I saw that years after the fact, because I'm old as shit,
yeah,
it scared the fuck out of me because it was one of the first things that brought the memory fully coming back. And then you could also say Eddie, Iron Maiden.
Yep.
Ace is high.
Yeah.
Yes, not Ace of Spades, as I sometimes make the mistake. And yes, I actually had that poster on my wall because A, Iron Maiden rules, and B, because that was also reminiscent of it.
Right.
But it didn't look like Eddie. It was like a full-on skeleton. So anyway, this skeleton head, I'm not going to digress any further, seems to notice I'm looking at it. And it's already dead, long since decayed, no flesh. And it turns to look at me with its, you know, eyeless sockets and the mouth like gapes open a little, giving this kind of sinister grin effect, though I might have been reading into it. And I'm freaking out, and I do what all kids do, cover the fuck up and pray it goes away. And the next thing you know, it's dawn and the closet is shut. And I tell my mom, and you know, she's like, oh, it's some fucked up shit. Probably a bad dream, honey. And la la la. without the fucked up shit part, because my mom doesn't say that.
It's fucked up shit, dog.
And my sister was in the room too, but she had a bed on the other wall and was dead asleep.
Okay.
So I was four or five.
Maybe you saw into the skeletal realm.
And so the reason I digress in that, besides the fact that it's somewhat valid, and besides the fact that, it means I have an affinity, and it surprises me that it took me this long to look into these kinds of accounts, is that you're going to get this time and time again.
Oh.
Very young kids that are going to go through very similar things, some batshit crazier, some not so much, but anyway, and some adults too.
Okay.
Some teenagers, but we're going to leave it at that.
All right, cool.
So anyway, we were talking about Miri, who was 3 or 4 years old when she first saw a ghost, according to her account on yourghoststories.com. So, getting back to that, there was one image. She said that she didn't remember everything because of her youth. Mm-hmm. So I'll continue by reading. There was one image, however, that was disturbing enough to stick with her for the rest of her life. Quote, all I remember is I was sleeping and I woke up in the middle of the night. My mom and some of her friends were downstairs playing loud music and drinking. Partying. So I was right.
Yep.
This didn't affect me at all because I'm a heavy sleeper and I was used to it. I felt wide awake and I looked up from my bed and I saw a skeleton at the end of my bed. I remember being so scared I couldn't scream. I just lay there terrified. I tried to yell, but my voice wouldn't come. So, like all other frightened children, I hid under my blankets.
Nice. Protocols.
Protocols.
There it is.
After a few minutes of being under there, I mustered up the courage to yell, Mom! Instead of her, a friend came up, and I remember still being so terrified I could only say, I want mommy, and crying. My mom told me it was probably a dream and that I was just half asleep, but I know that wasn't true because I still remember it so vividly. So again,
all right.
One and done, something I can definitely identify with Miri in the sense that you're just like, I feel like I was awake. And years later, I still feel like I was that way. But again, this is not about me. We're going to move on to the second account. Another brief bedroom encounter occurred to a man from Washington, D.C., who in 2008 posted his unusual experience under the moniker of Coco31.
Oh,
adorable.
That's cute.
According to Coco, the weirdness began after he, his sister, his mother, and her boyfriend moved into a new house in the ironically named Pleasantville, New Jersey, when he was about 5 or 6 years old. He writes, quote, in the room where me and my sister slept, there was an attic door. My little baby niece, Riley, has a fucking attic door in her tiny little bedroom, and I hate it. I hate it so much. But enough digression.
Where the trolls live, dude.
I know. I told Hunter about it. I'm like, dude, you're going to let your fucking daughter sleep in a room with the dead? She's like, shut up, dude. He's like, be quiet. I'm like, I don't know, man. She's like 10 months old. She's ready to face these kind of things,
dude,
I guess.
I mean, look it.
Dude, it's a creepy door up to a creepy attic in a tiny room, which makes it worse.
All right. Well, just throw a latch on it. Yeah. There you go. Fixes right. Everything.
I know. Make the melt a crucifix, make
yeah,
a latch.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I felt very uneasy living in the house, and especially uneasy sleeping in that room with the creepy attic. He continued, quote, I doze off to sleep, and around maybe 3 or 4 in the morning, I awoke and saw the attic door open. Bad scene. I tried to wake my sister, who was sleeping beside me in the same bed, to get up and close the door. Nice move. Maybe she was older. The movement came from the left side of my vision, about 4 or 5 feet from the bed. It was dark in the room, but the moon shone through the window and provided a little light. End quote. It was at this moment that this child would have a face-to-skull encounter with a terrifying, though undeniably fashionable, entity. Quote, at first, I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me because of what I saw. I wiped my eyes, blinked, and pinched my arm to make sure I wasn't still asleep. What I saw almost made me pee on myself. Looking directly at me through empty eye sockets was a skeleton. It had on a black cape, and the inside was blood red. So stylish.
That's pretty wicked, dude.
I know. It's a little Dracula-esque, but
yeah, dude.
Count of Monte Cristo, too.
Fucking, Dracula. Yeah, right on. Dude, it's fucking cool shit.
I know how this sounds, but it's very true. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I was in shock and scared out of my mind. I closed my eyes and hid my head under the covers. End quote. Convinced that his imagination was simply running away with him, the young man gathered the courage to peek outside of the blankets, a decision he would forever regret. Quote, when I looked up, it was still there, which really made me believe I wasn't dreaming. Finally, I mustered up enough strength and ran out of the room, leaving my sister and the ghostly figure or whatever it was behind. Good move. I ran to my mom and told her what happened. Of course, she didn't believe me, but stayed with me until I fell asleep. To this day, I don't know what it was, which is why I am deeply interested in the paranormal. So that's intriguing. Again, I mean, maybe don't abandon your sister, but I mean, fear is fear when you're little, and he's only, what, 5 or 6, I believe?
Yeah, I mean, your fight or flight is going to just be, you know.
Oh, to the max.
Flight.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to even probably think about, you know, anybody else. All right, that is creepy, though. All right, well, fashionable skeletons.
So what we're getting is skeletons, sometimes with a cape.
Yeah.
Sometimes just hanging out. An inability to scream is a common theme
that's
so
a common
far.
One there, yeah, fever.
And to be so afraid, and I've told that story too, where I was looking at Edvard Munch's The Scream, the painting, and it was like a slow zoom in on some early Saturday morning PBS documentary, and it's just a fucking painting. But I was so scared of it. I just had woken up and I still felt like I was in a dreamlike state and I was in my parents' room. Again, I've told the story, but I'll make it super quick. And I was so riveted at the slow zoom in on that screaming, bald-headed, gray alien-looking motherfucker that I could not muster a scream until I finally did. And my dad ran upstairs and that man did not run. He ran upstairs to make sure it was okay. And I told him I was afraid of a TV show. And he was about every bit as amused as you would think an 80s dad would be at that point. Not thrilled.
Nope.
I went downstairs. I ate a waffle. My life got on.
Yeah, go outside.
So I know
and
what
play.
It's like. I know. But that's the only time in my life I can remember being so scared. And it was not a paranormal event at all.
Right.
I do not think it was trying to crawl out of this, you know, the screen Ringu style.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that I was just really afraid. So I get that.
Yeah.
And totally. I can empathize with these poor little buggers.
Yeah. I get it.
These nocturnal horrors seem to delight in plaguing young children, as we were talking about. According to a 2017 post made under the name Pharmaceuticals, intentionally misspelled, it was, ironically, a frightened child's desire to find safety in his parents' room that directly led to a confrontation with this presumably evil apparition. Quote, I was about 5 or 6, and I was in my bedroom asleep. I woke up randomly, and since I slept with my bedroom door open, I could see my parents' door was shut. This was weird since my mom was worried about sleeping with the door closed because she might not be able to hear me getting hurt. I was going to get up and try to sleep in my parents' bed, but saw my hallway fill with this blue fog. That's where shit gets weird right there. When the hallway gets blue foggy.
It's a Blue Oyster concert all of a sudden.
No doubt.
Weird.
I stayed in my bed and saw this skeletal figure float into the doorway. Fear the Reaper.
Dude.
I remember it was in a tattered white hooded cloak and its eyes glowed bright white. It didn't try to approach me or try to hurt me. It just stood there with its arms outstretched slightly. So just this eerie arm out.
Weird.
Reverse fucking Reaper.
Yeah, that's, okay. Yeah, the white hood, the white tattered hood's interesting.
It really is. And the white glowing eyes.
Yeah.
Because that just adds a whole other paranormal element. It's not just the random dead, presumably. I mean, you don't know. It's the random dead with eye powers.
Fucking sinister skeletons, dude. Come on, get you in your sleep.
It was then that the boy retreated to what must be considered a child's universal bedroom sanctuary. Quote, terrified, I buried my face under my blankets and yelled for mom. It is truly the protocol. She thought it was just a bad dream. Again, the protocol. But I've had inexplicable problems sleeping since then, and I am constantly plagued by unrelated nightmares. So this person, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, if it was just a super terrible dream, I could see still having nightmares and having sleeping problems. But if you really believe it's true, or if indeed it is true, that's the one of the things that actually seems to validate it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've said over and over again, if this happened to me once, I'd never sleep again, or I'd never go swimming again, or I'd never fucking do whatever again that is associated with whatever horrifying thing we're talking about. If I saw that shit as a kid, I would definitely be sleeping with one eye open.
Yeah. Well, and you did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
no, I never, and I am still nocturnal.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that explains it.
I don't know if it directly relates to that one experience, right, though, but it might.
All right. Fuck. This is why Bobby can't fucking sleep normal hours.
I definitely had night terrors, and I definitely saw fucked up shit when I was a kid.
All right.
But, I definitely have chalked most of it up to my imagination.
Right. Well.
And I'm convinced that most of it is the product of a fertile imagination and not, you know, tons of paranormal interactions.
Okay.
But that hasn't been said. Who the fuck knows? And when you just get a little taste of the veil parting, get a little scared of what might be there.
Yo, paranormal spice cake.
Oh my gosh. But it is not just kids who encounter these ghostly abominations. In 2017, DMore45 described a bizarre run-in he had in the supposed security of his own home in late 2015. He wrote, "I was 26 when I saw a skeleton spirit. This happened late last year before I moved from my old apartment, while I was laying on my couch at night, suddenly I saw a skeleton covered with ghostly cloths over my television." So by cloths, I'm thinking like wrapping.
Okay, like mummy maybe?
I think it would have said mummy if it was a mummy.
All right, so just cloth.
Burial shroudy.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Inside the eye sockets, there were light purple lights. Again, a glowing-eyed apparition.
Okay.
This spirit was just hovering there and said nothing. After a few seconds, I opened my eyes. I did not remember closing them.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm a natural all-nighter and had no intention of sleeping. It seemed that I had an out-of-body experience, might even have been dead and didn't realize
it. Oh, boy.
Didn't realize it.
Okay.
Nice reading, Rob. Realize it. Recently, I've had health problems, but still do not know who I was looking at. So that's some fucked up shit.
That's really weird.
Could Moore's interaction, DMore being this eyewitness, be a rare example of missing time that is not associated with alien abductions or interactions with the Fae? Because alien abductions, and just as profoundly if you're into fairy lore, you have missing time galore in those situations, but almost no other paranormal cryptozoological phenomenon is that related.
Right.
But here it is, like looking us right in the face. So it's weird. And are his newfound health problems associated with this encounter, or is it just a coincidence? Perhaps there are pre-Reapers who show up not in black cloaks to steal your life, but in tattered white cloths, not unlike burial shrouds, in order to sow disease and joint aches and shitty knees and back problems and fuck those guys.
The pre-Reaper.
Because I feel like I got pre-Reapered like a motherfucker. Everything hurts.
Man, is that what happened to my knee? It's not a torn meniscus. It's just a pre-Reaper came to visit
me. They're
preepers.
That's what they're called.
He just in bed, he touched my knee. He's like, pain.
Die. Yeah. Sorry, cartilage. Go away.
Just rip in half and shred.
Oh, the slow death of the White Reaper. The Reaper. The White Reaper.
The White Reaper. All right.
In May of 2013, a woman called Sherry7488 discussed what might be the more bureaucratic side of skeletal visitations. Quote, I too was around 6 years old when I saw a skeleton ghost. My bedroom was in the back of the house, the scariest looking room in the house. It reminds me of that fucking, that Hag of Detroit that we did episodes ago from the Brad Steiger account.
Yeah, yeah.
That was icky as shit. So the scary room in the back of the house, that gets you.
Where the old witch lives.
Always.
I'm stuck in your bones.
Smells like the rot.
Yeah.
Smells like the shit that was in the studio last week.
Yeah, there's no shit.
I know, it's shit-free in 23.
Well, I think your sister reloaded the air freshener.
Yeah.
We're probably getting cancer from it, but that's okay.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Not to smell the shit.
Yeah.
It's a plus.
Thanks for the cancer goo.
And my dad's and brother's room were in the front. Getting back to the story. So I didn't like sleeping in there, especially because on days when it was windy, there would be a tree branch hitting the window, which really creeped me out.
Fair enough. First of all, if the tree branch is hitting the window, cut the fucking branch down.
You don't want to deal with a broken window. Just have dad do
Christ,
something.
This is homeowner 101. Keep trees away from your fucking house. They ruin your roof and they'll fuck your windows up.
It's not Sherry's fault. She was just 6.
Oh. Well, she could have tried.
What?
She did.
Swinging on it, make it break.
Ah, fucking go out there and be like, Dad, cut the shit, you lazy fuck. Cut the tree branch down.
That could have worked. Anyway, that's not me writing. That's Sherry writing.
All right.
Anyway, at nights when everyone was asleep, I would sneak into the living room to sleep there. That's how scared I was. It was closer to my dad's room. And this one night, I went to sleep in the living room. I was making a fort out of my blankets and pillows, using the couch and coffee table and whatnot. Just playing because I couldn't fall asleep. And we know where this is heading.
Yep.
And as I was playing, I noticed something in the corner of my eye near the entrance doorway to the kitchen. Something was standing there. For a split second, I was thinking it was my dad, but his room was on the other side of the living room, end quote. Sitting up, Sherry suddenly realized that what she was seeing was no longer human. Quote, then I looked directly at it, and it was a ghost skeleton wearing a purple cape hoodie. I'm assuming it's just like a Little Red Riding Hood deal, a purple cape that has attached.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of cool.
Dope.
Yeah.
Just standing there. I couldn't see its feet, like it was floating. It was just staring. I couldn't tell if it was looking directly at me or towards my dad's bedroom. It was then that the spectral skeleton did something very unparanormal. Quote, then it started to write on something, like a notepad.
Oh no, it brought instructions?
The bureaucrat. Oh. It's just, it's floating there. It's in this like stylish fucking lavender robes and it's just looking around. Then suddenly, checkbook. Where's the clipboard?
Oh no.
Let's see. Let's make sure this passes inspection.
Okay. All right. Cool. Just taking notes, man.
Could you imagine if there's like ghost inspectors, like you get randomly at like different like apartment complexes,
right,
or hospitals or workplaces?
Like,
let's just check this haunting out. Make sure this is on the up and up.
The paranormal OSHA. You're like, oh,
these
guys are worse than the fucking real OSHA.
Oh my God. It kills me.
Ugh.
I froze up stiff. I gently laid myself on the couch, trying not to look directly at it, end quote. It was then that, using flawless 6-year-old logic, Sherry concocted the perfect plan to do away with the purple-clad phantasm, quote. I just kept thinking to myself, if I just run behind it where the light switch is, I'll kill it with the light.
Yes,
kill it with the light. Sherry, you're a hero.
Dude, Sherry rules.
I know, that's ballsy.
Yeah.
But I was way too scared to do that. Then the skeleton ghost turned around and started walking towards the kitchen and down the hall towards the bathroom. My dad always leaves the bathroom light on, so I thought, oh, it got killed by the light.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of what gave me a little peace about what just happened. I told my dad in the morning what happened and, of course, said I was just dreaming. Yet I remember it like it just happened yesterday.
Oh, man. That's, all right, strange. I mean, I wonder, it sounds like it didn't even notice her.
No.
It just kind of showed up, and it was like
looking at the dad's room.
Indeed.
And maybe it's like a fashionable reaper. Like, oh, it's dad's time? No, not quite yet.
Shall I kill the girl? No, not yet. She's only 6. Give her some time.
I know. What are the purple reapers? If the white ones just fuck up your joints and muscles, what are the Purple Reapers doing?
Mm.
Like, maybe they're the ones in charge of, like, making sure shit around your house gets fucked up so you trip on stuff.
Oh, yeah, broken pipes.
Injury.
And shit. Yeah,
injury Reapers. That's what Purple is.
Oh, perfect.
We're going to get a whole fucking hierarchy before we're done.
Different sorts of Reapers.
But we're not done with Sherry.
No.
Many years later, Sherry would recount her tale to a psychic medium who claimed that the horrifying visitation was a blessing in disguise.
Of course it is.
Quote, "And about a year ago or so, I happened to come across a psychic medium person and asked her what that might have meant. And her response was a little strange. She said I got visited by an angel. But I forgot what name she said. Anyhow, she said I should feel blessed by this. I didn't feel blessed. I felt scared as shit." A few thoughts crossed my mind, like angel of death marking my time. Like, what the fuck? End quote.
All right. Well,
way to go, Sherry. Still
a
hero.
Take psychic mediums for what you will. I don't know. You know, maybe skeletal angel of death, you know. Yeah.
I mean, it's possible.
Whatever. I mean, if that's what the psychic said.
Angels look like all sorts of fucked up shit in the Bible. I mean, you look at Ezekiel, it's like the seven-headed donkey with four wings and a fucking ocelot's dick. And you're like, oh, take me to space.
Seven eyes, four dicks, 14 wings.
There it is.
All right. Well.
But people aren't only encountering these strange beings inside their homes. Sometimes they're just outside looking in.
Oh.
In 2015, Twister Watcher 7 related a terrifying experience he had had with his grandmother in 1982. He wrote, quote, "I was staying the night with my paternal grandmother and grandfather. They lived in a very quaint Bonneville home in Washington Terrace, Utah. I would stay with them frequently as my mom was a student at Weber State University and had to work after school at Standard Optical, so I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. It was a Saturday night, and me and my grandmother just turned on the TV, and one of my favorite but very scary shows was coming on. Hopefully some of you remember this show, Saturday Night Nightmares. It came on every Saturday night, and I talked my grandma into watching it. Now, the thing about that is, I did a quick Google. It's probably a local horror show to Utah with probably a horror host or something along those lines, like say Svengoolie is nowadays, or Elvira or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There was the USA Up, pre-USA Up All Night show, Saturday Nightmares, on the USA Network, but that didn't start until 84, and it ran until the mid-90s, and I vaguely remember that one.
I kind of remember that.
But this is 82.
Okay.
So I'm just assuming it was a local horror host.
I'm surprised there's, like, no reference for it.
And I've got, like, literally, I'm not exaggerating, 12 books about, you know, horror hosts across the nation. I've never read about this one.
Hmm.
But anyway, Saturday Night Nightmares, he continues, It was 10 p.m. and my grandma went and grabbed my sleeping bag and pillow so I could lay on her front room floor. She, pretty cool grandma, by the way. So,
for sure.
Pretty dope. She went to grab me and her a drink, and I thought I would get in my sleeping bag and lay down to watch the show. End quote. It would be then that his world would be twisted on its head. Back to the story. As I was getting into my sleeping bag to watch the show, I had a strange feeling in my stomach to look out the front room windows. These windows were rather large, like bay windows, and there were four of them along the front of the house. The TV was next to one of them up against the wall. I looked out the furthest one from where I was laying down, and I could see a white, misty, skeleton-like face looking through the window at me. There was no body, just a very scary face that seemed to be pressed up against the glass, just hovering there. I screamed for my grandma, and she came into the room and asked me what was the matter, end quote. At this point, the child's living nightmare would go from bad to worse when he realized he was alone in his plight. Quote, I told her to look out the last window that I saw the face in, to see if maybe she could see it, and of course she couldn't. I told her what it looked like, and she thought maybe I was watching too many scary shows and that Saturday Night Nightmares was getting in my head to cause me to see these things. Also, at this point, I was watching a lot of scary shows, but I know what I saw. So, to me, that is just the worst. It's one thing if he looked back and it was gone.
Right.
But to look back and see it, and then have someone there, someone you love, someone
and
you trust,
and
they can't.
Oh, man.
That's hellish.
The shit's in your head, dude. It's a mind virus.
I know.
Yeah, pot of pool.
Well, Jesus Christ. Twister continued. After I saw the face, all I could do was move my sleeping bag and pillow far enough away from the windows so that I couldn't see that face anymore. Grandma told me to calm down and stop looking at the window, but I was transfixed on that evil face. And I tried to let it go, but it's like I was stuck there watching it even after I moved out of its view. God, that's fucking obsession, but who can blame them? It was there for a very long time, and Grandma told me that maybe we should just go to bed and turn the TV off. So I slept with her that night, and of course, I couldn't sleep. I thought that face would eventually make its way into the house, but I guess I was so exhausted from worrying about it that I finally fell asleep. When I got up in the morning, I had to go make sure the face was gone, and boy, was I relieved that it was.
I mean, if it's there in the morning, you're fucked.
Oh, you're totally
like,
fucked.
Like, that's it. Like, just put...
And then no one else can see it still?
Yeah. That's the rest of your life is this thing that's haunting you through windows.
Yeah. Wispy Skull is your new best friend, so make peace.
Just give him a name. There you go.
Strangely, Twister added that following his experience, he went through what he referred to as a 2-week psychic period.
Huh?
Though he did not elaborate on what these psychic powers specifically entailed. One can't help but to wonder, like some paranormalists have suggested regarding all supernatural experiences, if what on the surface seems to be a horrifying, though ultimately pointless encounter, might be designed to unlock some hidden potential in the human psyche, to open doors to alternate realms that might otherwise remain forever closed. In short, can the terror specifically elicited by an inexplicable event, be it alien or occult, serve as a key with which one can unlock a new, perhaps richer, if not decidedly more unnerving, way of interacting with the wider world and all of the creatures, both seen and usually unseen, that lie within it? Much in the same way as childhood trauma can be both debilitating and at the same time serve as an essential growth medium in the development of empathy. So,
Interesting.
Like, it has been proposed, and I'm not saying I support this personally, that sometimes these terrifying encounters on the surface really are sort of psychic keys to unlock your ability to perceive a new world or interact with intelligences that ordinarily would be lost to most of us in the way that we can only see in a very narrow spectrum of light, or, you know, our senses are, you know, muted compared to like a dog's, that this kind of jolt to the system, the psychic system, opens up your perceptions so that you are able to more easily interact with things that, when you're not used to them, seem terrifying. And a skull seems terrifying, especially when you're a kid.
Right.
But that really might behoove you someday. I don't know, but the fact that it triggered a psychic 2-week experience for him,
that's something.
Makes you, it made me wonder.
Yeah, that is kind of, okay, all right. No, I'm down. Do you get a little psychic jumpstart? You know, there you go. A little paranormal boost.
In 2019. We're jumping all over the place. Usually I go chronologically. Here we're just jumping from idea to idea, depending on how it's flowing.
Doing 2019 back to 72.
A teenager under the appellation of Triple Virgo wrote about a skeletal sighting, that's right, Triple Virgo, that took place even further beyond the window. It's worth noting that this case, once again, involves a very young eyewitness. When I was maybe 4 years old, I was staring out of my family's living room window that led to the street. I don't really know why I was looking out the window, but I remember it feeling like I was staring for quite some time. Out of nowhere, a skeleton, no, not someone dressed as a skeleton, pulled up in front of my house in a light purple car. Styling.
All right.
It looked like an older vehicle, but I personally don't know much about cars. So fucking sweet old pimpmobile. The skeleton just sat there and stared at me for a little, then drove away. I can faintly remember him waving or saying something, but I'm not sure what exactly happened since I was so little. Also, I'm not sure if it was male or if it was really anything, but I just have the feeling. I haven't seen him since, and I wanted to know if anyone has had a similar experience.
Just a skeleton pulling up in its Mazda Miata. Just
tipping the hat. Going, hey, what's up, kid?
Hey, have a good day, son.
Stylish ride, huh?
And Jeff is coming, and he just fucking tears off.
Weird. Yeah, weird.
All right.
Really weird.
Cool.
This would not be the only walking skeleton case to involve a motor vehicle. This one's weird. One of the more haunting accounts comes to us from an individual known as C.A. Griffin, who in 2014 wrote, "I saw a skeleton apparition when I was around 6. It was really scary. For no reason at all, I woke up in the middle of the night and looked out of my bedroom window and saw a skeleton sitting on top of my mom's car that was parked under a tree."
Okay.
Right.
Weird.
He was just sitting there looking up at the sky or at the tree, kind of swaying a little. I just stood there staring at it and then decided to hop back in bed facing the window. At that point, I did not feel fear because it was outside and I was safely inside, away from it. End quote. This brief respite from fear would not last. Quote, after a few minutes of laying down, I rolled on my back and looked to my left. There it was watching me. It was laying down on its right side and was propped up on its elbow as if to say, what are you going to do now? I quickly turned back towards the window and closed my eyes and eventually fell asleep.
That's fucking super aggressive.
Yeah.
That went from, it's kind of hanging out on mom's car to, it's in my bed.
It's in my bed.
It's in my goddamn bed. All right.
I was too scared to do anything else. It was so much scarier up closer, end quote. Intriguingly, Griffin, much like John Keel and other ultra-terrestrial proponents, speculated that this thing's main motivation was to create a sense of terror within him. Quote, now that I think about it, I bet it wanted to scare me because it did not get the reaction it desired. Well, I moved from that place long ago, so I should be safe now, right? Right? And for anyone out there interested in learning a little more about ultra-terrestrials, that'll be episode 124, Kryptonaut Podcast.
Oh my God, that was so backlog. Long ago. Holy shit.
That was a fun one, though.
Yeah, that was cool.
One of the more unique accounts was broadcast in August of 2009 on the Canadian television program Ghostly Encounters. In the episode, professional dancer Jonathan Gerber claimed that around 1997, while living in Brampton, Ontario, when he was just 8 years old, he'd had a brush with two very enigmatic entities. I said, In an interview during the segment, he claimed, that night when I was 8 years old, I woke up and looked outside. I could tell that it was really early in the morning. I wasn't sure what time it was. I figure it was around 3 a.m. I could see a little glow from the moon and from the stars and just enough light to be able to see the shapes in my room. So I'm just sitting in my bed and I turn my head to look over at my chest of drawers. So such a wordy way of saying dresser. I couldn't reach the top drawer. I was a really short 8-year-old. All of my friends had surpassed me by that point. I noticed that the drawer was open, which was really strange considering I can't reach the top drawer. As he pondered who it was that opened his dresser, Jonathan would catch a glimpse of something that would forever alter his perspective on reality. As he stared at the open drawer, he was stunned by the sight of a small, skeletal figure literally unfolding itself as it sat up in the drawer and dangled one of its bony legs off the side. According to Jonathan, it turned its head towards me and looked at me with no eyes. As I looked at it, I almost expected there to be eyes because I could tell it knew I was there. Even though there was no way he was alive, I still felt like it had some version of a soul in it. Kind of odd. As Jonathan locked onto the eyeless sockets with his own bulging orbs, the entity shifted its attention away from him. Quote, then it turned and started to look at my closet. Of course, I wondered why it was looking at my closet, so I looked over, and through the wall came this hooded figure. More hoods.
Oh, through the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was similar to, I guess, a ring wraith from Lord of the Rings. Awesome.
All right.
Yeah, it might as well be a Dementor, a ring wraith, something
yeah,
horrible.
Yeah, whatever, man. Fucking, there you are, Tolkien fans.
I couldn't see its face. I couldn't see its arms. I just saw this hooded figure. I then turned to look back at the skeleton, and it started to fold itself, almost like a contortionist, back into the drawer.
What the fuck?
And this hooded figure just started to slowly, I mean extremely slowly, move towards me, and it was just trying to edge at that moment. Every moment was like a million seconds. I almost felt that every second could have gone on for a year because I was just that terrified, and this being was moving so slowly that I didn't know what to expect. By that time, I can only hear my own breathing because I'm so scared. As these interminable seconds of terror unfolded, Jonathan attempted to get a better look at the bedroom invader. I was trying to look to see if it was a man or something, but when I looked into the hood, there was nothing there. Like, I could see just the beginnings of the insides of the cloak, but I couldn't see any face. I couldn't see anything. There was just like a blackness that stopped right where the face should be. That was the most terrifying thing for me, is that I felt there's this being here, and I knew it couldn't be an actual person because I can't see their face. I just saw this hood and hoped that it went all the way down to the floor. I couldn't even see feet. At that point, I started to get really afraid. I grabbed my covers and was holding onto them for dear life. It was then that Jonathan erected the only barrier he could between himself and this unthinkable entity. Yeah, you know where we're going with this. By the time the shadow reached the foot of my bed, I was too terrified to even look at it anymore, so I ducked under my covers. I pulled the covers up over my head, never shutting my eyes once, and I started pinching myself and saying, "Okay, dear God, wake me up. I must be asleep. I must be asleep. There's no way this can actually be happening to me." But then, just as I was sure I was going to die or something, I felt a hand on my right knee. It felt almost human, but I didn't know whether it was or not, and at this point, I was too terrified to ask or say anything. My breathing had completely stopped. I was just, at this point, convinced that I was about to die. I was like, I better get some strength and face this thing, because I was paralyzed with fear at the time. I was thinking, could this be a demon? Could this be a ghost? I'm going to die right now. You better be prepared. That's a hard thing to go through when you're 8.
Man, this is fucking intense, dude.
I know.
Holy shit.
After about 2 seconds, when I was sure that it was going to happen, I just pulled down my covers to look and see what was there, and nothing was there.
Just ready to face death.
Yeah.
Look, if you want to kill me,
let's
we're
do it.
Locking eyes.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to see.
Right, here you go.
Like, I don't know.
Oh, man, touched him. Oh, God.
Horrible void.
Yeah. Ugh, that's creepy.
It really is.
Jesus.
I know. I didn't have enough courage to get out of bed yet, but within 10 minutes, I was able to get up and run to my parents' room and sleep with them for the rest of the night. In what would be a definite shift from the norm, when Jonathan told his mother about the experience the following day, she did not merely dismiss him or chalk it up to being nothing more than a bad dream. In fact, her reaction was one of distinct alarm. Quote, "When I told my mom the next day, she at first went straight to thinking it was a demon because she'd grown up in Tobago and there's sort of this spiritual undertone that there are demons and spirits around you all the time. And so she told me immediately that she thought that it could have been something like that coming to try and touch my life or try to affect my life or how it could be in the future." Fucking weird. I mean, it's cool that she believes.
Yeah.
No, I don't know how much comfort an 8-year-old's going to take. Oh, that was a demon.
No,
and it's here to fuck your life.
Bro, you're going to be a professional dancer. There you go. This is how you got it. Skeleton.
Yeah.
Yeah. This gave you the strength to face your fears and to be the lord of the dance.
Well, what's interesting is that that's exactly how he talks about it. Like in the extended part of the interview, because obviously
he ties into it. Really?
I found the clip.
Oh, shit.
Of the ghostly encounter show or whatever it was, and I watched it, of course, and that's where most of these quotes come from. Probably should have mentioned that, but he goes on to say that, you know, he started dancing more aggressively at that point, and he became more committed to his career path, basically because of the fear he felt that something, you know, might strike at any moment.
Dude, this is like some crazy Footloose shit.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, no, it's Footloose good, to the max, but it confirms what, you know, John Lithgow's character was saying, that the devil loves dancing.
Oh, yeah. That son of a bitch. But good for him, man. He took that fear. You know what he did? He didn't let it destroy him and shit. He turned it into something positive.
Became a legendary breakdancer, by some accounts.
Yeah, he's just dancing.
And a Canadian celebrity.
I like it.
I'm happy for him.
Fucking good on you, dude.
Yeah, don't cower.
No.
Spring up. But when you got an accordion skeleton in your dresser, maybe it's time to fucking switch it up.
Face it with dance.
Get a wardrobe.
Fuck
face
you.
It with dance.
Yeah, fuck you.
Oh, my
you.
God. That's just like Ninja 3.
Dude.
Lucinda Dickey fucking dancing the ghost out of her bedroom. Watch it.
Yeah, dude.
Ninja 3, I think The Domination it's called.
Dude, fight, fuck, or dance.
Oh, there,
yeah,
well,
there you go.
Honestly, that's a good way to live. I mean, I'm not much of a fighter, but
just saying, there you go.
Fucking and dancing. I'm a fan.
There it is. All right.
Strange as Jonathan's experience surely was, it would pale before our next encounter, as it remains one of the flat-out fucking weirdest living skeleton accounts ever published.
All right. Okay. Ramping it up here, Uncle Bobby.
The bizarre account appeared on Your Ghost Stories 9 years ago and was shared by a user named Richie Harry. Just a name.
Okay.
Nice. Who, like many of the previous observers, was a young child at the time of his encounter. In his posting, Richie shares an event that involves what can only be described as the manufacturing of a monster.
Okay.
quote, "I remember when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I noticed that the memories almost never give you a specific age," which is interesting. Like, they can remember the event, like, yeah, it happened, because that's the striking part, but they can't, because it was so long ago, they can't quite place the specific year. And I said the same thing earlier, four mm-hmm. or five. So, I don't know, maybe I'm just identifying with it. Usually it would be a red flag for me, but in this case, I'm like, what the fuck? Eerie coincidence.
Yeah, weird.
But either way, he was 4 or 5 years old. I was in bed. Back then, we had a bunk bed, and my youngest brother's crib was next to it. I remember laying and hearing the sound of a blender. I was thinking it was my mother in the kitchen, but when I looked at the bottom of the door, there was no light. I tried not to pay any attention to it. At this moment, his mild annoyance would be replaced with abject terror. So as I was trying to fall asleep, I took a glance at the closet, which was open, and what I saw was a skeleton with no skull. Then out of nowhere, what I can only describe as a machine that was causing the noise was screwing the skull onto the body like a light bulb.
Like the amazing screw-on head from Mike Mignola?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
This is weird fucking... I can only see like this like industrial age, like massive can opener, but working in reverse to fucking attach it. Or maybe like one of those cannery things like junk.
Yeah, yeah.
That gets the top on.
Man, this is fucking weird.
The eyes were red and it would stare at me and my brother, who was fast asleep. Things would take an even darker turn as Richie then noticed additional bright red eyes staring out from around the edges of the closet, focusing particularly on his sleeping brother. Suddenly, the newly assembled skeleton began moving, stepping a bit outside of the darkness of the closet. It was then that Richie made his move, creeping out of bed. Quote, "I was starting to get scared and I was pulling myself closer to the door. Once I was close enough, I ran to my mom crying about it. Of course, she didn't believe." End quote. In the years that have followed, the shock of the experience has not diminished for the witness, who claims that although he was an adult when he submitted his story, he had been unable to sleep in a room with an open closet door ever since, stating, "I'm 25 years old and I'm still afraid." Yeah, no one can blame you. And no, I'm 50 years old and I will not sleep in a fucking room with the closet door open.
Yeah.
That's just principle.
Yeah.
You just shut that fucking door. Even if you know there's nothing in there, you shut that fucking door.
You have to.
It's ridiculous to suggest otherwise. But yeah, that screw top head bullshit.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very like a janky Terminator to me. Like,
oh yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Red eyes. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it's dun, 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 dun. Yeah, it's really bizarre. Okay.
All right, we're getting close to the end here. Moving on to some juicy stuff. From the decidedly weird, let's move on to the outright horrifying. In a story first aired on the Real Life Ghost Stories podcast, then recounted in a video on Beyond Creepy, a young teenager named Brian would have one of the most unnerving walking skeleton encounters on record. According to his account, he was visiting the home of his aunt, uncle, and cousin on their rural British estate sometime in 1982 when he came into contact with a grisly wraith right out of a banned issue of EC Comics.
Nice.
I'm noting again, 1982 is a recurring year, not that it really means anything.
Okay.
But it is. According to Brian, he and his cousin were left alone in the house for the afternoon as the rest of the family had gone into town. After hiking through the woods and dicking around in a nearby field, they said they were playing, but when you're teenagers, you're just dicking around.
Yeah, you're just screwing off.
The pair decided to head back to the house for a drink and some snacks. Although we all have certain images of eerie old British country manors in our collective imaginations, this was not the case with his cousin's house, as it was a relatively new abode, for England anyway, that had been built just a few generations earlier by their mutual grandfather. Still, as modern as the amenities may have been, it seemed as if the place still harbored some very dark secrets. The moment the boys entered the house, they claimed to have been shocked frozen by the shrill sound of a woman shrieking. Before they even got the chance to regain their bearings, they heard a sudden creak, and their eyes went from each other to the basement door at the other end of the kitchen, which was now, slowly but surely creeping open. Brian described the unbelievable event that transpired next. A skeleton came up from the basement stairs and turned its head and looked at me.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right.
Then it turned its body and started fast walking towards me with a bloody knife in its right hand.
Oh, shit. It went to Evil Dead real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Okay.
I unfroze, turned, and ran out of the house. We ran into the yard and stopped and looked at each other. I said to my cousin, "Did you see that?" And he said, "Yes," and asked me what I saw. I said to him, "You tell me what you saw." And he said he'd seen a skeleton and it had a bloody knife in its hand.
Oh, no.
As happened so often, when relief finally arrived in the form of the boy's parents, skepticism was the order of the day. I told my parents about it, and they told me it was my imagination. I told them I must have a pretty good imagination because Andrew saw it too.
Oh, shit, the shared imagination.
Suck it, Ma.
Yay, take it, go.
Fucking bloody knife running, women shrieking.
Yeah.
Did Grandpa do some heinous shit in that house early on?
This could be some weird fucking
bones. Or is that like a house that was previously there?
Yeah, dude, this could be some grandpa's a fucking killer. Someone coming back, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to impugn his grandpa.
Yeah,
but,
true, we probably shouldn't. We don't know who he is. He could be a fine man or a monster.
I mean, it could have been another woman. I mean, yeah. I don't know the gender of the skeleton.
No, they didn't.
Could have been grandma, like, yeah, you done fucking my husband. He just built me this house.
Yeah.
Now you die.
Now you're going to stab.
And then you hear the scream of the victim.
Yeah.
Then the skeleton comes up with a bloody knife.
There, it's hot.
Just the way grandma ran up from the basement. She was canning shit and killing her rival.
So many years ago.
So many years before.
Or yes. Grandma was a fucking saint.
Maybe it can be both. A little bit of one, a little bit of the other.
All right, yeah, she's a complicated. She's a mixed bag of nuts.
Exactly.
No mixed, one's... mixed bag of grandmas.
There
it is.
If that was Patreon, that'd be the title.
Oh, shit.
Our final account for this episode is yet another sleep-stealing encounter. Posted 14 years ago by a then 17-year-old individual calling himself Proto Man Mountain. This chronicle is the sort of report that would make it nearly impossible to ever again sleep without a light on, a Bible, and a high-caliber handgun on the nightstand.
Oh, boy.
And seems to prove that at least some of these infernal fiends are more than capable of doing grievous physical harm.
Oh, shit, we got attacks.
Even to small children.
Oh,
quote,
no.
I feel like I say quote a lot, but there's a lot of quotes.
Quote.
Quote. Okay. I have also seen a skeleton, apparition, slash ghost, or whatever, when I was around 5 or 6 years old. It didn't have a red cape, and it was around 4 feet tall, or possibly close to 4 feet. That's tiny.
It's not very big.
There's a lot of tiny ones. The one in the dresser was tiny.
Yeah, he was a little guy.
There's
little
other
guy.
Accounts of tiny ones that didn't make the cut. I know we did a lot of accounts, but some of them are being saved for other things that they fit better into.
Okay,
like,
cool.
Like sea specters.
Oh, Sinister Skeletons Part 2. The more things. Sinister skeletons.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's a working title.
Definitely. Definitely. But anyway. All right. So red cape. Didn't have a red cape. Sorry. 4 feet tall or close to it. I woke up in the middle of the night around 3 a.m. Again, a common theme. You know, the wee hours close to the witching hour.
Yeah.
3 a.m. or so, and it just appeared along my bedside. At the time, I had a bunk bed where I slept on the bottom and my brother on the top. The skeleton who was looking at me resembled your typical skeleton, with the exception of its height. And strangely had a sharp object that resembled a sword.
Dude, it's one of the from Ash versus Evil Dead or from Army of Darkness, those little shitty skeletons.
Jason and the Argonauts. I mean, yeah. It goes back in cinema history.
Okay.
As if the physical appearance of this pernicious pint-sized predator weren't quite enough, the mood of horror was exacerbated by the fact that the thing was slowly drawing the tip of the blade back and forth along the bottom portion of the bunk bed.
What the fuck?
It's worse. After 30 seconds of slow-growing horror, the thing suddenly turned to the wide-eyed child and screamed, "Give me your liver!"
Give me your
Give
liver?
Give me your liver! Dude!
Okay.
What the fuck are you going to do?
It spoke.
God, it said the worst thing it could say.
It made a demand. Child, give me your liver.
God.
Okay.
Proto Man's reaction was swift. I started screaming and yelling, like all children. And I ran to my parents' room, jumping over the skeleton pretty much, but along the side of him, just like you guys. The reason it says just like you guys is because this is one of the responses that was
right.
Below.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My parents still believe I was dreaming, even until this day.
Man.
So, the fuck?
Yeah.
Give me your liver. And it's another case of sibling abandonment, but we'll just table that.
I mean, sometimes you got to be like,
that's
sorry.
Just childhood fear.
You got to bail.
Yeah.
You know?
It's fucked up.
Yeah, that is super weird.
I mean, is it like, right. I don't know, like got some like afterlife cirrhosis and it's like, I need baby liver.
I drink too much in real life.
I'm a pirate and I need me rum.
Give me your liver. All right.
Though unfortunate that he was not believed by the adults in his life, what would truly haunt this eyewitness was the fact that, unlike so many other experiencers who were one and done, he continued to have run-ins with this sinister skeletal specter. Quote, I forgot to mention that he came along my bedside more than once around that age, but the encounter stopped after the next several times that I saw it. But the encounters were random and sporadic, not like within the exact same week or month, end quote. So, fucking sucks.
Was he still demanding his liver?
Yeah.
Was it like, give me your spleen?
Yeah, what else next? Your rectum. No, that's iffy. Yeah, you're young. Forget it.
I mean, I'm on a God damn it, I'm on a list.
I mean, I'm a cannibal. I mean, I just want to eat your No! Fuck, no! Forget it, I'm haunting someone else.
God, I fucked this whole thing up.
This is not good.
Chris Hansen's waiting for me now. God damn it.
Have a seat.
That's a great Chris Hansen. Why don't you have a seat? All right, man. Well, yeah, it's weird. Maybe it's clearly they're harvesting organs. It's making its demands known.
Yeah.
It's not like a genie. There's no trick here. It's like, give me your fucking liver, kid. There you go.
Exactly.
All right, weird.
I'm going to fucking scare you. I mean, they're getting assembled in random closets, machine-like, you know, assembly style.
Four-foot tall little skeleton thing.
And I know. I mean, what are they fucking... Tall man, did the phantasm guy get a hold of him, shrink him down?
Shrunk down to those little gross interdimensional jowls.
The afterlife on Mars where the gravity's weird, so you need to be tiny, teeny tiny.
Fucking weird, dude. Those things are fucking sketch.
All of this, it's all sketch. It's all A, super sketch, B, freaky as shit, and inexplicable. Like, none of it makes wink of sense.
I got a couple ideas here, but we'll wait to the end.
Fair enough.
Okay.
We're dangerously close. Protoman added a note of solidarity to his account writing. What I'm trying to say is that I believe you guys, and that is the number one reason I pretty much signed up for the site. At least there are other people out there who had a similar experience, and I can finally, hopefully, say I wasn't hallucinating it. Seeing as there was more than one encounter with the skeleton, and also that people have had a similar experience. So that's legit. Wrap this up, and then we'll move on. While it's great that sites like Your Ghost Story offer paranormal contactees a community in which they can share their experiences without shame or ridicule, and perhaps even find others who have endured the same or similar encounters with the horrors of high strangeness that they have endured, this ultimately brings us no closer to an answer to the big questions, which in this case are, what the fuck are those things, and how and why do they choose their victims? Is it all a supernatural shell game? Are these merely tricksters scaring kids for kicks like douchebag teens on Halloween? Like ultra-terrestrials, do these things merely feed on the fear they generate, or are they actually capable of violence? Are there some who do not survive these encounters? Later found dead in their beds, faces ashen with fear, their demise chalked up to heart failure for lack of a better explanation.
No, that's fucking dark.
We are clearly dealing with something either supernatural or of occult origins. Unless, of course, we're dealing with freaky interdimensional entities with invisible skin, muscles, organs, ligaments, and tendons just buying purple hoodies and playing with swords inside of strangers' homes like a partially invisible Ren Faire aficionado tripping their balls off.
Yes, you nailed it.
I tried to get that out in one breath.
I liked it. You did it.
Did the best I could.
Good job. Master of breath.
Whatever the case may be, we must be wary of the fact that they seem to be targeting the most vulnerable among us, children, obvs. And as we are the ones, being us and our listeners, with minds open enough to wonder what if, it falls to us, even if our logical minds reject everything they have to say, to believe them when they speak and make sure they remain safe from perils both real and imagined, and perhaps from those that dwell somewhere and the nebulous void in between.
No, shit. Sinister skeleton.
Sinister as fuck.
Super weird. So the common theme here is kids. It's kids. It's at night.
Yep.
It's, you know.
The wee hours.
Wee hours, sleeping. So obviously we're just going to put that on the table. Because
Has to be on there. We have to address that.
Yes. That
they're tiny kids. Nightmares ahoy.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, even as a kid, I think like the first notion of like something scary always is a skeleton.
Absolutely.
Just because you have zero.
Because you get that, like the decorations at CVS or fucking your local supermarket. Skeletons, pumpkins, and bats, I think, are the trifecta of witches, maybe, of basic, like, Halloween decorations.
Yeah, it's like the base knowledge you would have as a kid for something creepy. You'd be like skeleton.
Plus poison, you know, the whole idea of a skull, you know, skull and crossbones on a, you know, a pirate ship. Not that I think a lot of kids are afraid of pirates, though they ought to be. They're pretty fucking treacherous. But that's not the point. The point is, you're right.
Yeah.
A skeleton in general, a skull in particular, is always one of the earliest things that a child has in their life to denote stay away, be afraid.
Yeah, just pure base fear. So, okay, well, that's obviously there. That could be a thing. But there's a lot. These stories all have different types of interactions with them. One where there was even two different kids that saw it. A weird bloody knife. So I know we've talked about the idea of, like, you know, kids being more open, I guess, to, like, paranormal stuff, which is kind of like, it's a little cringy.
I've always been iffy
on
that. Super iffy.
I don't know.
Oh, well, not because it can't be true, because sure, maybe it can be, but because it is considered, it's a trope that's considered fact.
Yes.
Like, people say it like, well, of course, you know, children are more open to the sensitive side of paranormal and they can, you know, accept these things. And it's like, you just say it like fucking, like, air is breathable. Don't tell me, like,
this
it's
is
science.
My 2-year-old son Dennis, he's a psychic medium, and you're like, he's not, he's a fucking 2-year-old.
On the other hand,
he's a developing brain, for Christ's sake.
I've known people and you know, I'm not going to go too deep into this for privacy reasons, but, you know, their child had very sixth sense type experiences, like encountering dead people.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the kid had those experiences and you know, the parents didn't, but...
You know, maybe I hit on something there accidentally talking about how they have, you know, like, brains that are forming.
I mean, maybe.
That could be something.
I think that's part of the rationale, but right. I just, like you, I'm at loath to state it as a point of fact when there's really no way to know. But will I say that sometimes kids are more open to shit and maybe they're making up fairies? Maybe they're really seeing them. If they're photographing them in England and you're trying to sell it to fucking Sherlock Holmes' creator, you're fucking full of shit. And I knew that long before that came out.
Right.
Most people did.
You know, but also too, like, with your experience having, like, a vivid imagination, I mean, that could also be part of it too. I know, like, as a kid, my imagination was fucking nuts.
Right.
It was all over, because, again, you're developing. You had
this
brain and you had this world that's so new to you. Like, everything in the world's new. Because you're just experiencing and you're taking it
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. Everything's big. Everything's
understanding.
New. Everything's valuable.
So that could be a thing there. But with all that aside, with all the obvious things there aside, if all these people, and they're all, again, the flip side of this, having kids a certain time at night, sleeping, coming across this thing, it's almost reminiscent of maybe, like, not a dream demon like Freddy Krueger, but, you know, like something that's coming to, like, to generate fear to... For whatever reason.
Like a dark Sandman or something?
It just seems like the goal is to show up and to generate fear.
Except, a lot of times, you're right.
I mean, the one was, like, taking notes. That's the outlier. That one's
There's always outliers.
That one's a nerd. That one's just there taking notes. In the
right.
Scene. He's just like, oh, this place is super cool. It seems like they would be doing it for a purpose, though. Like, there would be no reason just to show up to be like, fuck you, kid, and then fucking go away. Like, it,
I mean, you're right. We're trying to make a list, obviously, of things that nothing's constant all the way through, but, like, pretty consistent. Very young children.
Yep.
Wee hours. They seem to be generally frightening. All these things are true, but really, what we're dealing with is a statistical shit show. Like, beyond these commonalities. What the fuck are they doing? Why are they doing it? Why are some dressed and some aren't? Why is this one in tattered rags hovering above a fucking, you know, a 20-something's TV set and glowing purple eyes, and then there's missing time?
Why
is this other one in a purple car? Purple the theme? They looks at another kid who's just staring out a window and like, hey, Bill.
The only solid one is a skeletal. That's it. Just skeletal, which again is a base fear of a kid. Could be a base fear of a kid.
No, absolutely.
Huh. Okay. Well, yeah, if it's something that was stalking specifically children, again, there'd have to be some sort of, like, reason for it, which I guess, going back to the also terrestrial hypothesis, I mean, it would be fear.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to generate. It's not hope and friendship and goodwill.
No.
You're this creepy fucking floating thing that's all skeletal. Like, how would you expect that somebody would? Unless, you know, maybe they're all just experiencing different, you know, spectral entities that happen to look the same.
Aliens
can be similar. Why can't ghosts?
I mean, there are some that are, like, literally there clearly to fucking terrify you.
With the fuck, give me your liver.
Yeah, give me your liver, fucking... the bloody knife in the basement is, like you say, it's definitely an outlier because it happened in the middle of the day, not in a bedroom. There's two eyewitnesses. There's a lot of things. So we'll table that one for now.
Yeah.
But some of these things, like you say, like Billy Notebook with his fucking purple, you know, cape hood and the rest, like they're just there and they're scary by default. Mm-hmm. They are making no effort to scare these kids.
They just kind of show up. Yeah.
They're just there. And by virtue of their appearance, it becomes frightening. That to me seems less of something in the ultra-terrestrial mode where if you really feast on fear and this is like your big fucking, you know, old country buffet moment, you're going to elicit fear. You're not going to just show up, do the bare minimum, unless you're on a diet.
Give no fucking effort towards
like
this.
Nothing. Like, I don't even care. Throw me a bone. I don't give no shit. But again, I've always been a little iffy on the whole ultra-terrestrial eating terror thing because that's super convenient. All monsters create fear because its nourishment is, again, generic.
It is a very easy fucking explanation for something. So, well, I mean, what do you think?
I'm confused and delighted because I love things that, like I say, that have some kind of consistency. They're skeletal. They're, you know, showing up late at night, on and on. I'm not going to repeat it again. But it's also like, it's just, there's the monkey dick in the works is that there's so many different subtle differences, like why a cape here, why a hooded cape here, why tattered white robes, why fucking can you fold yourself like you're a paper doll skeleton, and then there's a weird fucking Grim Reaper type dude.
You're in the closet getting your head twisted on you from some machine.
That completely
weird,
on left field.
Super
weird. And then you get red eyes once you're attached, and then multiple other red eyes show up in the closet, and they're all staring at your sleeping brother with envious eyes, like, what fucking nefarious shit are you doing while you're trying to creep the fuck out, not being noticed.
We want to taste his fingernails.
Exactly, like a hero.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too. Like, I separate myself from it because even though I, you know, took the time to tell the story earlier, and I do agree that there is an association, like, my account could fit right in with the rest of these.
No, 100%, yeah.
It would have some differences, like, obviously, like, the moving camera angle of fucking crashing plane, like, with smoke and debris. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned that, but it was, like, a full-on, like, plane about to fucking crash somewhere. But even I can't be sure all these years later it's not a product of my imagination.
Yeah.
At all. Like, it felt real at the time, and so I've recorded as such, but is that just the way a brain's going to record something? If you feel enough about something at a certain time in your life when your brain's developing, does it just get sealed in the concrete of your mind, even though I know the brain is malleable? That's a fact.
Yeah, and your belief makes it real at that point where you're like, I'm locked into this now.
Right.
Like, even if it was something that was an imagination, like if it affected you that deeply to your core, it's going to be a reality to you.
Right.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's super weird. I mean, that's the lot of humanity.
Yeah.
That's why you got to be real careful what you believe in. And if you believe in some shit that, say, most of the world thinks is terrible, like, I don't know, racist bullshit, start second guessing why. Because You if you can't trust like normal shit, you certainly can't trust shit that consensus reality says blows. But that's me soapboxing. What I can say about my personal experience is that I don't have any recollections of seeing World War whatever footage, like dog fights or people crashing or anything that would trigger it. I mean, if this happened after, say, the movie, the animated film Heavy Metal from 1981 that we were talking about, occurred, because it was so fucking strikingly similar, it really bothered me. Like, it scared me when I was like a, I don't know, 9-year-old kid whenever I saw it. Then that would be something, but it happened after. So I don't know what could have triggered it if it was purely imagination, nor do I know, unless it was a particularly vivid dream, why it struck me as something like I had to like hide and like turn my back and cover my face, like just like all these other kids. But I can't swear it wasn't imagination. So I do feel a deep well of empathy for these kids.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's got to be scary as shit.
And you could say that maybe it's part of why I'm interested in paranormal stuff, but also I've always kind of liked paranormal shit. My mom was interested in paranormal stuff. Yeah. We'll be dealing with that at some point in the future. And I was a fan of In Search Of. I'd started watching it around that same time, which again might have just triggered an interest in paranormal, but I don't remember any closet monster episodes. There weren't, I know for a fact. So it's just weird. Like, I can't even say what I know I'm babbling because I think I have a lot of thoughts in my head at once. I can't say what the genesis of my experience was.
Right.
I will not claim it was real. I will just claim that it sort of felt real, but it's uncanny how many young kids seem to be experiencing this.
Yeah, almost like it's like a manifestation of fear almost.
Right.
So I'm going to kind of come up with a hypothesis.
Like Topol-like? Like being young and fearful makes something manifest in reality? Or do you mean psychological manifestation?
I'm thinking more like a psychological manifestation. Something where it just kind of like pops in your head like that. And it's just so fucking real and so visceral like right at that moment that it just kind of...
Especially when you're in that half-sleep state.
Yeah, man. Shit like that.
You can't trust that.
No, it gets real scary. If it is... I don't know if you're going to go full Tulpa on this. Like, that's a fucking lot. But I mean...
That's a lot of energy to invest in something.
But, you know, I mean, kids being kids and just, you know, having that newly formed brain and all new experiences every day, just who knows, man? Maybe that's how they get in.
Maybe.
Oh, there's that little crit.
A little mind parasite?
There's that little creak in your brain. Just a little crack in the little fucking thing there and some weird ghostly thing like jumps in. Yeah.
Bull weevil.
Demands your liver. Comes out of the fucking basement with a bloody knife trying to stab you, making accusations about your grandfather and grandmother that are probably not true. They're fucking saints.
We were actually the ones that accused them.
That's fine. That's fine.
We're real. We're not like parasites in your mind.
I don't know.
Sorry, Bri.
Are we the parasites in your mind?
I mean, were we infected and are helping, you know, propagate it?
Are we real?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, as much as I can be. I feel pretty tangible.
Well, that could all change in a heartbeat.
I don't know, man. You know, I like taking a good shit, eating pizza.
It doesn't mean that we're real.
It doesn't mean we're real, but the simulation is pretty authentic.
Exactly.
So I can live with this shit. So I guess I would say as a final word is like, remember light kills. Sherry said so.
Sherry
7488, I believe.
Yeah.
And blankets protect.
Yeah.
So if it touches your knee, face your fear, it'll make it go away.
The other dude there became a better dancer.
And you'll become a better dancer.
Yeah, there it is.
So, you know, there is a light at the end of this tunnel.
Totally. There it is. Thank you all for joining us, Sinister Skeletons. Robert, thank you so much for the research on this. We appreciate it there, my dude. So coming up, we'll do that at the very end. Real quick, we have Patreon shout-outs to do.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, I almost forgot. Every week I keep forgetting that we do them at the very end, even though I keep telling myself.
Well, it's only been like the fourth time, maybe fifth time.
I don't remember how many times. But Robert, let's do the shout-outs for the good folks that support us over there at patreon.com/kryptonautpodcast.
Kentucky Minotaur.
Oh, hell yeah, brother.
Tallahassee Centaur. No, I'm just making shit up now. Fucking Montreal Medusa.
Yeah.
Ryan Fisher.
Thank you, Ryan.
Grumpy Stillskin.
Hell yeah, Grumpy.
Oh, weave that gold, steal that baby.
Hell yeah.
Kevin Jubinville.
Thank you, Kevin.
Eddie Moreno.
What up, Eddie?
Neil Schwartz.
Hell yeah, Neil.
Matthew Lepa.
Yes, thank you, Matthew. And again, that is patreon.com/kryptonautpodcast. $1 is a shout out and one bonus audio.
You guys are saints.
The $5 is the shout out and the 4 bonus audios.
Get there and support us if you can.
Yeah,
throw that buck. You get your name out there. You get extra shit to listen to that is usually fairly amusing if off the cuff.
And if you do that, you get access to the Discord server, the private Discord server, only available if you're a patron. And this is for the $1 and the $5 tiers we were talking about. This Friday, February 17th, 8:30 p.m. Hold on for 1 second here. Grab a beverage of your choice and get ready for Beers with the Boys. You can join Mark. You can join Rob and myself on Friday, February 17th at 8:30 p.m. EST, Eastern Standard Time, in the General Voice for an informal and interactive discussion of some grab bag stories from across the web. Again, as we mentioned in the beginning of this episode, we don't know what the hell we're going to do, but we're going to make it happen.
Hell,
we're going to go on there. We're going to crack some beers. We're going to talk some shit. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk with the good folks, get their input on some stuff.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'd be kind of neat to actually like just, you know, cover a couple of things and get people's instant reactions from it.
Absolutely, because
cool.
We never get that.
No, and I mean, as people listen, you know, they're like, oh, I listen to your podcast, and I'm like screaming at, you know, you about, you know, a topic, how you can't say documentary or whatever.
That again.
Yeah.
Well, when you brought that to me at the beginning of the pod, I'm like, I know I say it right. I say documentary.
Dude,
then everything we listen to is like documentary. Yeah. And I'm like, well, fuck.
We can do? We can talk about that with the good folks on this Friday at 8:30 on the Discord, so be sure to check that out.
Yeah, show up. Do it.
Yeah, do it. It'll be fun. And this is like a beta run for us, so, you know, this obviously we're not going to have.
Yeah, go easy on us.
Yeah, super prepared. Yeah. So yeah, there's that. And Robert, the social medias, the Insta, the Twitters, the Facebooks, all that stuff, we're there. We're doing it, living in the metaverse, making it happen. Heatherspace.com, get yourself some clothes over
do
there,
it.
Some tees, some shirts.
Sweet tees.
Also, too, Crowdmade. Our shop is thekryptonautmerch.com. Just kryptonautmerch.com, not thekryptonautmerch, but kryptonautmerch.com. Check them out over there. And yeah, there's all the places you can check us out. So thank you to everyone that supports us in the show here. We appreciate it. Everyone with the messages and the DMs and everything is super cool. Love hearing from you folks. And there you have it. Thank you all so very much. And remember, sinister skeletons coming to eat your fingernails.
Lights on, blankets up.
Sucking on your fucking toenails.
That's
dude.
The way we like to fuck.
Nice way to end it. Keep it safe. There it is. We'll be talking to you. See you.